I am going to ask somebody to come up and share something. We have prayer on Saturdays at 9 o'clock every Saturday. So we do prayer 52 weeks out of the year every Saturday at 9 o'clock, and it's awesome. I'm telling you, you ought to, if you don't make it every week, you ought to at least set aside one Saturday a month to say, I'm going to come to corporate prayer, because people are, they share what the Lord's giving them, and it is always so awesome. So I'm going to put this precious lady on the spot. I haven't even talked to her about it, but I'm telling you, Libby Davis had an awesome word yesterday, and so... Jennifer and I were just talking. Jennifer said, I would just love for Libby to share. So instead of Jennifer sharing first thing this morning, I want to ask Libby to share what she saw during prayer as we were talking about some things and praying over some things.
There was a young man that talked about something that the Lord had shown him about the parable of the sower. And he was saying that in the parable of the sower, he had heard somebody say, oh, you have to make sure, you got to get your heart right, you got to make sure your soil is good, you got to do this, that, and the other. And it was just interesting, we were just talking about sowing. And I thought about, in the parable of the sower, I've had these thoughts like, well, if it fell on the ground, if it fell on the stones, if it fell in the weeds, why weren't you a little bit more precise about where you threw those seeds, you know? And then I realized that this kind of sowing, reach in the bag, throw it out, it's called broadcast sowing. It's not a tractor that plows a little thing and goes dot, 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 dot. So it just, Jesus didn't say, you know, make sure you get it in the hole and then you water it and do all of this. And the young man had said, the sower sows the word. He just goes to bed and gets up, and the plant grows, he knows not how, and then he puts in the sickle. So sometimes we put so much emphasis on, you know, the ground and how to do it and all of this stuff. Jesus just said, sow the word. Amen. Just broadcast it. Just sow the word. And sometimes you know not how, but it comes up. One man sows, another man waters, God brings the increase. And sometimes we get so hung up in the details of it that we forget to just fling it out there and let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do.
Come on, that is a great word. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. I love that. Let's not be trying to figure out how to make the ground produce. Let's just be out there broadcasting the seed of the Word of God to people and everywhere. And, you know, you have an influence in the areas that you work in and your family and that sort of thing. You be that influencer. Say, I'm an influencer.
I'm an influencer.
Because the influencer lives on the inside of me. Yeah, you can say that. Because the influencer, the greatest influencer of mankind, lives on the inside of me.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All right. So praise God. That's some things that are going on. And, you know, after I just got a message here. Birmingham police officer was killed early this morning and another shot and critically injured. So let's pray about that right now, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you that, Jesus, you are Lord over Birmingham. You reign in this city, that as we talk about you in 2019 being the year of the reigning King, that you reign in our lives, that you reign through our lives. But Father, we just declare that for this area, that this is a place of peace. This is a place where righteousness is exalted, where your love is known, that people are drawn to Birmingham because that Jesus, because of your light, because of your grace, because of your love, because of what is being, just like we heard, what is being broadcast from this place, and that Birmingham isn't just a place that is a teacher and a preacher of righteousness, but it is a demonstration of it. And so, Father, right now, we pray for all the people that were involved in this shooting overnight. The police officers, we thank you, Father, that you've set up police officers and government for our good, and that we are to honor those that are in authority over us, and that we are to recognize that government comes from you, Father. And so Father, we pray for their families. We pray for the individuals that did this, and their families, and the hurt, and all of that. And Father, I just pray that your peace and that your comfort and will begin to work in the situation, work in the lives of the people affected, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, that supernaturally, that I just pray that the blanket of your grace and the blanket of your comfort just surround this whole situation right now in the name of Jesus, so that it will not be a seed that would produce more violence, and it will not be an incident that will lead to more chaos, but rather, Father, that out of this, it'll be a seed that will produce more unity and that will produce more love, and that will that people will come together as opposed to being apart, in Jesus' name. So, Father, we just release that now in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, last week I started talking to you about 2019, so the things that the Lord had put on my heart. This is the year of the reigning King. Doesn't mean that he hasn't reigned up to this point. The idea behind this is not that, and I'm very clear about this, not that God chooses years for certain seasons, but that in different places and, you know, in different churches where people are in their walk with the Lord, there are seasons to that walk. And so when I declare that 2019 is the year of the reigning King, this is a word for Life of Faith Church. Now, other people may have a different word for their church, that God's talking to them about some things. But that's because that church or that group of people is at a different place in their walk with the Lord, and he's wanting to do something through them. And so I know that people will tend sometimes to get on television and to make broad declarations over a year. Well, that's not what I'm doing. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about us as Life of Faith Church, because the fact of the matter is the kingdom of God was handed to Jesus the moment that he ascended to the Father, and it is an everlasting dominion. Let's start out in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 13. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. We honor your word this morning in Jesus' name. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Now, let me stop there. When we read that, we typically think that this is Jesus returning to the earth. This is not the event that we're looking at here. Jesus came with the clouds of heaven, not to the earth, but look where he came. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. So what's this picture? This is the picture of Jesus after he was raised from the dead, after he'd spent 40 days with his followers, with his disciples, and then he was taken away and went up in the clouds. You can read that in Acts chapter 1, what that looked like. And they stood up watching Jesus being taken and disappearing in the clouds. And then all of a sudden, now we come here to Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, and we see the other side of what happened after that he came to the Ancient of Days. There was a triumphal entry into the realm of heaven. Whoo!
Hey, Mark?
Yes.
You said Deuteronomy and it was wrong, but
Daniel. Sorry. Did I say Deuteronomy? It's not Deuteronomy chapter 7, guys. It's Daniel. If you were in the spirit, you would have known it. Or perhaps I just made a mistake. Could that be it? Well, there's my one for 2019. Glory to God. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for a wife that loves me and keeps me straight. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days. They brought him near before him. Look at verse 14. And there was given him. There was given him, this man Jesus, there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. Somebody say dominion.
Dominion.
Which shall not pass away. It will never pass away. And his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Let me talk about the Bible for just a moment. Let me talk about human history. What is the goal? What is the story of humanity? What is the story of our history? What is our shared history together? If you'll look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let's go there and look at this. Let's start at what happened at the beginning, and let's see what Jesus did, and let's set this thing up so that we can really step into the reign of the King in our lives. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image."
Amen.
Notice that, I want you to notice, all of this happened after God created the universe. God created the earth. God set everything up. Do you know that it is mathematically impossible for this earth to be the distance it is from the sun? And our solar system to be in the position that is in the universe, and that everything, the way that the magnetic fields keeps the radiation out and all of that everything is so finely tuned in this whole universe that a star that is a billion light years away is placed there because it is doing something to keep this universe in absolute precision for this earth to function so that we could live. He did all of that before he ever created us. Made every provision, made everything perfect. He is the creator of the universe. He is more magnificent than you could possibly imagine. He is worthy of all of our praise. And when all of this was done, all of this, he began to focus on the crowning achievement of his creation. He said, now that we've prepared it all, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And look at this. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over all the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God's given us dominion over creeps. So God created man. Next verse. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. In the image of God, in the image of God, in the image of God, he created him. He created you. He created you not just to sit there and do nothing, but he created you to be creative. You have the same creativity to produce and to do and to imagine and to discover things that have never been discovered before. Only animals can't discover those things. Animals can't create that way. Animals don't imagine that way. We were created that because we've got the spark of the Creator on the inside of us. We've got His nature. We are part of His family. We are His offspring. So He created them in His own image. Male and female, He created them. And look at the next verse. He said to them, God blessed them. The very first act that God did was to bless them. And let me tell you something. If God's blessed you, you don't need nobody else to bless you. So many times people are still looking to others to bless them. And when God's already done it, do you know that Abraham found himself in a situation, the man Abraham found himself in a situation where his nephew was at a city that got captured by an invading army. And so Abraham took his hired servants and went and they delivered them. And so the king was so grateful. The king was so grateful that got delivered that he said, here, you can have all the stuff of our city. You can have all the spoil. And Abraham said, and this is, you can find this in Genesis chapter 15 or 13 or somewhere right around there, 14 actually. He said, I have lifted up my hand to the God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, that I'm not going to take anything from you because He has blessed me. No man's going to say that He has made me rich or that my success. In other words, Abraham was so dependent on God and so believed in the blessing of God that was on his life that he didn't need to look to anybody else to enrich him. So God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish or fill the earth, replenish the earth, subdue it. And check this out. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So we see that right off the bat that God blessed man and then God gave man dominion. And so the story of humanity is about dominion. It's about dominion that was given, dominion that was lost, and then dominion that was regained or restored. And so when we talk about Jesus as a reigning king, you've got to understand that this thing about dominion is essential for you to get and for you to understand. So here's what we're going to do over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about what it means for the king to reign in us and for the king to reign through us. Do we have dominion today? Do we have this kind of authority today? Is what God promised Adam still available to us today? And we're going to find out what that is and how it works. Number two, in the month of February, if you've ever had a question, how can I hear the voice of God? How can I hear the voice of God? What does God's voice sound like? I want to hear His voice. I don't know how to hear His voice. I'm going to answer that question in the month of February. We are going to go through and so that by the end of the month, you will not question whether or not you are hearing the voice of God anymore. Because the fact of the matter is God wants you to experience Him. God wants you to hear from Him. God doesn't want you just hearing the voice of God through Pastor Mark or through some other minister. God wants you to hear His voice for yourself. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. They had conversations with God. They had fellowship with God. Jesus didn't come just so that we could keep a bunch of rules and commandments. Jesus came so that we could have fellowship with the Father again. That what Adam and Eve did caused sin to come in, caused death to come in, and separated mankind from God so that we could no longer have the kind of fellowship that God originally wanted you to have. Amen. So Jesus came to restore broken fellowship so that you can hear His voice, so that you can walk with Him, so that you know with a surety that every step you're taking, that God is directing it, and that you're not messed up. You're not making mistakes. So we're going to learn what it means to hear the voice of God on your own. Because let me tell you something. In my life, there was a time that hearing the voice of God was far and few between. But when I really began to understand what it meant and what Jesus did, now it's daily. Daily. Somebody say daily.
Daily.
Would you like to hear the voice of God every day and to know? Well, then tune in on February, okay? Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over everything that moves on the earth. So what we see here is that back in Daniel chapter 7, again, verse 14, to Jesus was given what? Dominion. Dominion had originally been given to first Adam. Do you know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Jesus is also called last Adam? The first Adam became a living soul. The last Adam, it says, became a life-giving spirit. And so that Jesus, again, the parallels between first Adam and last Adam are the same. That first Adam was created. Last Adam was created by God. First Adam was without sin when he was created. Blameless, holy, righteous, could look at God face to face. Last Adam, who is Jesus, holy, blameless, righteous, without sin, can look at God face to face. Hallelujah. First Adam was given dominion. And here what we see is that last Adam, Jesus Christ, there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting. He overcame sin. He overcame darkness. Jesus' life was the life of an overcomer. And so his dominion will never pass away. It will never be like what Adam and Eve did in the garden. It can never happen. Death has been defeated. Sin has been defeated. And so, but how does that affect us? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. Verse 18. Look at verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom. I'm reading from the New King James Version. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. And then verse 27, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. The Bible tells us that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Amen. Every knee shall bow. Whether it's in heaven, whether it's in earth, whether it's in under the earth, and every name that is named has to bow to the name of Jesus. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. I'm going to read some things to you here that I want you to really get. I said that this is the year that Jesus reigns, but he reigns in us. Before he can reign through you, he has to reign in you. In other words, I want you to see that all of human history is about dominion. And as you start going through the book of Genesis, you find out that it's about God coming to a man named Abraham and saying, everywhere that you walk, I have given to you. This is your land to possess. And so the story of Abraham is that God made a covenant for him to take back land that Satan had, or that the children of Satan, if you want to call it that, that wicked people were dwelling in. And so it was about Abraham going and claiming land back for his people, for God's people. And so that we fast forward to the Exodus, and when they came out of Egypt, all of Israel was in slavery, but it was about God bringing them out of slavery in the same way. Physically, he brought them out from under slavery. They were born into slavery. They represent you. This generation was born into slavery. Every person is born into slavery, enslaved to sin, enslaved to depression, enslaved to darkness, enslaved in some way. You're bound in some way. There's a stronghold in some way in your life because you were born into it. You have maybe a hereditary disease. You may have bad tendencies that's come to you because of your family history. You may be angry all the time and may have an anger issue because your dad was that way, your mama was that way, your grandmama was that way. You have problems in your life. You have hurts. Welcome to the human condition. You're not so special that you're not going through what somebody else hasn't gone through. Everybody was under sin's control, just like the children of Israel were enslaved to Egypt. But God sent a man to the children of Israel by the name of Moses. Moses was born free. Moses was not born a slave. A slave can't set another slave free. A slave doesn't know what freedom looks like. And so a free man is what can set another slave free. Moses grew up in the government. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house. Moses understood what freedom was. And God could use that understanding to have a free man take a nation out of slavery. But the whole point wasn't to deliver them from slavery. That was part of it. The whole reason, get this. The reason why Jesus came wasn't just to set you free from sin. The reason why he came wasn't just to offer you forgiveness for sin. The reason why he came wasn't just to break the devil's yoke off of your life. That's part of it. Today, you can, right now, you can receive absolute freedom. We say here at Life of Faith Church, we are here so that you will experience real, lasting freedom and thrive in your God-given destiny. He did come to set you free, but not about what he set you free from. It's about what he set you free to. What if Moses had just taken the children of Israel out from Egypt into the wilderness and say, enjoy your life. You're now free from slavery. Go, enjoy. That's not the story. We wouldn't have the Bible today, because it wasn't about setting them free from something. It was about God, the promise of God. Yes, I'm going to bring you out. Yes, I'm going to bring you out with great spoil. Yes, I'm going to bring you out, and I'm going to bless you in the process. Man, you have to see how good God is. I mean, God wasn't about trying to do it in a sneaky way. God wasn't about saying, okay, all right, tonight, when all of Egypt goes to sleep, we're going to try to get out of here and just try to make a run for it. God doesn't work that way. God's not trying to sneak, you know, cause you to be sneaky in your life just so that you might get something. No, God wants to demonstrate his glory in and through you. God wants to put himself on display in your life. That we are the light of the world. We're not to be hidden. We're not to be behind. We're not to, you know, just try to keep things to ourselves. It's not me and my few and no more, and God just bless me. No. It is his design that we reign in life, that we have dominion in life, that we allow him to live through us, to reign through us, and that he demonstrates his power and his glory in and through us. And so, my goodness, he didn't just bring them out and say, now what are we going to do? He actually told them, go borrow gold and silver and all the things from your neighbors, the Egyptians. And they just handed it to them. And it says that they spoiled the Egyptians. They took all of their treasures. They got all the back pay from when they were enslaved, then some, and interest and all that. God doesn't forget. Justice belongs to God, and He'll take care of it. I don't care. So let that be a word for somebody this morning. If you have been wronged, maybe you were passed over for a promotion. Maybe you weren't given the raise that you were promised. Maybe somebody stole from you. Maybe somebody took advantage of you, and you feel that hurt. And every time you think about that situation or you think about that person, there's some hurt there. Okay? Child of God, know that the same God that brought Israel out with a mighty outstretched arm that showed signs and wonders and miracles and proved Himself strong is the same God that is now proving Himself strong in your behalf. And He sees what's going on. Nothing is hidden from Him whatsoever. So I'm telling you, don't look to somebody else to be your supply. Look to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and He will cause you to come out greater than you ever were before. You'll be promoted like you never thought was possible. The job that you were passed over for, there's a better job coming your way. But get away from the bitterness, the unforgiveness. Don't let those things dominate your thinking. Don't look to people as if they're your source. Don't look to your job as if it's your source. Don't look to your employees as if they're your source. You need to look to God Almighty, from whom your help comes, because He's the one that'll deliver you. Promotion comes from Him. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Are y'all cold?
Yes.
Can we, I see Jennifer all covered up here, so we might want to turn off the air. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's give Him praise for a moment. Father, we just thank You right now. Father, we give You praise right now. We receive that right now in the name of Jesus, that You are the reigning King, that You are the reigning King in our life, that You're producing in our lives promotion and favor. Favor goes around us. Favor, say, favor, favor surrounds me. Say it again. Favor surrounds me. So what the Word of God says, the favor of God, it surrounds you just like a shield. There's a shield that is, I mean, that shield, it goes before you. In other words, favor gets to your work before you ever get there. Okay? It's going before you. It's surrounding you. If you'll just not look at the natural, if you'll not try to do it on your own, you recognize that the God of favor is operating in and through you. And so everywhere you go, man, just you just bask in and you just walk in the favor of God, the goodness of God. People may not know why they're wanting to do things for you. People may not know why they're giving you that promotion. People may not know why they just feel like that they got to tell you good things and help you in some way. Hey, don't worry about the why. No, it's that the favor of God in your life. God will turn your situation. It's time for the King to reign in our lives. And so remember, it's not about what Israel came from. God said, I'm delivering you, yes, but I'm taking you to someplace. I'm taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm taking you into a land that there's houses that you didn't build. There's things that it just is abundant provision that's available to you. Yeah, I'm going to provide for you every single day while you're in the wilderness. And so let this be a word from you. Sometimes people say, I'm going through my wilderness experience. Oh, really? Well, if you're going through a wilderness experience, does that mean that you're seeing manna every morning when you get up? Are you seeing quail every morning when you get up? Is water being provided? See, we look at the wilderness experience as if that's some kind of a negative thing, you know, because it's not what we want in our lives. No, even in the wilderness, God abundantly provided for them. Your situation is not an indicator of God's provision. Whatever you're dealing with right now is not an indication of whether God's provided for you or whether He's not. You cannot. How do I say this, Father? You cannot allow your emotions and allow your faith and allow what you to believe about God to be determined by what's going on in your life. Many times people... Listen, if you want to flip this, if you want to flip your life, if you want to experience God's best in your life, then your faith in Him has to be independent of your situation. This is a word for somebody this morning. Listen to me. Your love for God, your serving God, your relationship with God cannot be a roller coaster based on what's going on in your life at the moment. Yeah, you know, I mean, everything was going great. I just love God. Everything's good. All that's good. And then, man, all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. And so where's God in this? Well, God, if you don't love me enough to take care of my situation, then I just don't care about you. Which means that your trust in Him and your faith in Him is dependent on how you feel in a certain way. And that's not faith. Because that is bringing Him down to your level and down to a natural level. No, no, no. Your trust in Him, your faith in Him, your love for Him has got to be a core belief that is established at the very outset, that in the middle of when things look like it's drying up around you, in the middle of when things aren't going the way that you wanted it to go, in the middle of all of that, that you're at peace, that you're at rest, that you're saying, God, I love you, I trust you, I thank you that you're leading me, I thank you that you're guiding me, that I don't care what's going on, that you are my daily provision. I may not have enough for next week right at the moment, I may not have enough for next month right at the moment, but I have enough for today right at the moment, and you daily supply my needs. You daily load me with benefits. That's what the Word of God says. And so you stop being afraid about what's going to happen and stop fearing, because here's what happens. When you fear for the future, you actually project into the future your fear, and that's what you'll end up getting. Fear is a negative expectation and a negative hope for your future. And you need to flip that and start trusting God and say, God, I trust you. God, I thank you. First of all, I yield to you in every area of my life. I yield to you, reigning King, because I know that as you reign in me, then you'll begin to reign through me. And so it's about dominion. God said, I'm taking you to a land. And then he had Joshua, which means God is my Savior. God is my salvation, to actually take them into this land of possession. Child of God, the Hebrew name for Jesus is Yeshua. It is Joshua. It is God is my salvation. God is my Savior. And just like Joshua in the book of Joshua chapter 1 took the children of Israel from a place in the wilderness, and they stepped over the Jordan into the land of promise, and they watch God do mighty miracles, and they begin to inhabit and possess the land that God has given them. So our spiritual Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has now led us and is the captain of our salvation. And he has gone before us into the land. He has regained lost dominion. The kingdom is his forevermore. And then for those that are in him, they will experience the land that God has for you. So now it's about you walking in the reign of the King, the kingdom of the King, which means that there is a land for you. There is a possession for you. There are things. It's not just about God blessing you. It's about you going and you taking back ground. Listen to this. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 4. As I start to bring this to a close, in Hebrews chapter 4, this is close number one. So Hebrews chapter 4 picks this story up. If you'll look at the previous verse, in chapter 3, verse 18, I just want to read that to set this thing up. Because there was a whole generation that did not make it into the land that God had promised them because they did not believe. A whole generation died, not because God didn't want them to go, but because they didn't believe. To whom, verse 18, did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey and to those who did not believe. The King James says, to those that believed not. So we see, verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They could not experience the promise of God because of unbelief. You will not experience God's blessing in your life if you're living a life of unbelief. The only way to experience the blessing and to experience His goodness is to believe. So look at the next verse. So it says, therefore, since now we have a promise remains of entering into His rest. Let us fear lest any of you should seem to have come short of it. A lot of Christians have come short of what God has for them. For indeed the gospel was preached to us. The good news was preached to us. There was good news. Think about it. They had seen God do miracle after miracle and miracle. Every day was a miracle to the children of Israel. Every day when they woke up, they saw there was bread, there was manna, bread from heaven outside their tent door. Every single day. And yet they get up to the promised land and said, nope, can't do it. Can't do it. God's not going to be able to do this one. We are not able. We can't do it. There. So it boggles the mind. It just does. What happened is God brought the slaves out of Egypt, but he never could get Egypt out of the slaves. They kept wanting to go back, kept wanting to go back. Man, what God has for you is so much better than what the world has to offer. I'm telling you. For unto us was the good news preached. Good news preached. They had good news, but the word preached, the words which they heard, did not profit them. It didn't help them. They didn't just... Just because you're sitting here hearing good preaching don't mean it's going to do you any good. You got to believe the word that's being preached. If you're waiting for God to show up and then you'll believe, you got it backwards. You got to believe first and God will show up. Amen. Because faith sees the unseen. Because if it's seen, then it's not faith. Amen. The gospel was preached as well to them, but the word that they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them who heard it. For we who have believed, say, I am one who believes. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he had said, so I swore in my wrath, they will not, the unbelievers will not enter my rest. That's what he's talking about. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. God finished it all. God made it all available, but said because they won't believe, they won't be able to enter in. We have access into grace through faith. Our job is to believe God. Well, what if I don't see a change in my company? What if I don't see a change in my family? What if I, that is whether you see a change or not, does that determine whether or not you believe God? The answer is no. Only when you've made a decision, I am going to trust God. I am going to yield to God. God, you are my salvation. God, you are my deliverer. Do you know that the Bible, when it talks about God as a shepherd, he will lead you. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. A sheep does not care about the lions that are around him because the shepherd knows what to do. The shepherd has the stick to beat the lions off. The shepherd will take care of him. It's not about me beating the lions off for me. It's about Jesus with my trust in him. He takes care of it all. I said he takes care of it all. And so, see, now I can be trusting even in the midst of difficult circumstances because it's not about the circumstances. It's about the King. And he's going to lead me, he's going to guide me, and he's going to direct my paths into paths of blessing. Okay, finally, I had a lot of things over the next couple of weeks I want to share with you. I may have said this last week, but I want to say it again. So, to finish the thought, the stories of history is about dominion. It's about entering into the possession. Abraham, Joshua, Israel. You'll see that the stories is all about possessing the land, possessing the land. I'm challenging you in 2019 to possess the land that God has given you. Don't let things creep in to rob you from what God has determined for you to have. In other words, let this be your year that you are a pit bull, that you are dogged, determined, that I am going into the land. God, I trust you in every area of my life. Let's go for it. Let's enjoy this land together. You've already provided it. You've already made it available, but I am ready to experience you in all of your goodness and all of your glory. God, let me be a recipient of your extravagant love. If you need somebody to show out in, then show out in me. I'm talking about I'm yielding myself. Guys, I mean, you have to be this way. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, it says that he loved us so much that in the ages to come, he wants to show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus, that he is looking for people. There's another scripture that the eyes of the Lord is running to and for throughout the whole earth. He's just looking for somebody who he can show himself strong on their behalf that would say, yes, Lord, let me be a recipient of your extravagant love. Yes, Lord, let your power be demonstrated in my life. Yes, Lord, let you can reign in me. You can reign in my family. You can rule in my finances. You can rule in my business. You can rule. I say yes to God in everything. Bring it on, Jesus. But what you accommodate will always stay around. What you are passive about, what you put up with, will just stay there. Suppose, this morning, Chad, I've asked the leadership here to go through the LOF Connect class that we're doing right now that meets at 9 o'clock. And Chad was a few minutes late. One of the things that the Lord blessed us with last year is we were able to buy a house right over here across the street here at the church so that we can be a blessing to other people. And so right now we have a young lady and her children in there that we're helping. And we're just thankful that God made this available to us. But apparently this morning, there was a mouse in the house. And so the phone call went to Chad. There is a mouse in my house. Can you please come and get it? Now, what if she had said, you know what? It's okay. There's plenty of room in this house. I mean, come on, guys. Think about it. It's cold outside. Those nice, furry little creatures, they just want a little warmth, and there's plenty of room in your house. Ladies, isn't it okay that you have a few mice in your house? No, that is not gracious at all. Now, what are you going to do? Exactly what she did. Please come get this mouse out of my house. She wasn't willing to put up with it. You ladies aren't willing to put up with the mice. Now, you may not get rid of it yourself. You call your husband and say, come get this thing. Well, I want to say, in likewise, there are things, there are rodents spiritually that are trying to get into your spiritual house that, quite frankly, there are bad habits, there are bad, there's bad thoughts, or there's patterns of thinking, there's patterns of behavior, there's things that you just allowed, you've just accepted into your life, that you just said, you know what, this is just the way I am, and I'll never change, or this just keeps happening, or you know what, we'll just put up with it, it'll be fine. There may be a little symptom, a little sickness, or something like that, and you say, you know what, it's okay, it's just a little cough, and the next week when you have full-blown flu, you'll look back to the fact and said, you know what, I shouldn't have let that little mouse stay in my house. What I should have done was got rid of it right then, because it's done multiplied into a full-blown family. And it's robbing you of your possession. And so life is about dominion. Notice that God told Adam and Eve, said to have dominion, but to subdue the earth. They were to exercise authority. They were to have dominion. It didn't just happen because they showed up. They were having to make sure, even in that perfect state, that everything would follow what they had to say. So, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Thank you, Father. What you accommodate will never be defeated. What you are passive about will continue to hang around. It will continue to live in your house. But God wants you to be established in certain things. God wants you to be, number one, established in righteousness. Say, established in righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13 or so, it says, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. Okay, so let's pull that up. In righteousness, you shall be established. You shall be far. Say far. From oppression, you shall not fear. Let's look at the context of this. I want you to see this for yourself, because this morning God's about to set some people free from oppression. Okay? If you've been dealing with oppression, if you've been dealing with depression, if you've been dealing with even suicidal thoughts, if you've been living under a dark cloud, if there's been no light at the end of the tunnel, if you've had no hope for your future, God says this today is your day. Today is your day. Jesus came to set you free. He came to preach liberty. He came to preach freedom. Just get ready. Let's just read this together. I want you to see it. I'm going to start in verse 9, and I'm reading this again from the New King James Version. For this is God talking. This is God talking to you. For this is like the waters of Noah to me, in the same way that he said, I will never flood the earth again. And he gave the rainbow as a symbol of that covenant that happened 4,000 years ago, that he said it'll never happen again. And it never has, even though sometimes here in Alabama it feels like it's been flooding. But it'll never flood. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you. Child of God, if you think that God is angry, that God is upset, that he is not pleased with you, nothing could be further from the truth. because God sees you through His Son, Jesus. Jesus took all of that wrath, all of that anger, all of that judgment on Himself so that you wouldn't have to. Check this out. Nor rebuke you, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. I don't know about you, but I think there's still some mountains around. I think there's still some hills around. So this is for us today. But my kindness will not, shall not depart from you. Amen. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed. Woo! His covenant is a covenant of peace. It's a covenant where there is nothing between you and God. I said there is nothing between you and your Heavenly Father. Jesus removed every obstacle, every hill, every mountain He removed. Says the Lord who has mercy on you. Oh, you, listen with ears of the Spirit. Oh, you afflicted one. Are you here this morning and you've been afflicted? You've felt afflicted. Oh, you afflicted one. Tossed with tempest and not comforted. Are you here this morning and there's turmoil in your life? Guys, y'all can kind of go ahead and start playing. Is there turmoil in your life? Is there something going on in your life right now that you need freedom from, that you're ready for new victory? You're ready for new hope? You're ready. Listen to this. This is your God talking to you. Oh, you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal. He's just talking about His abundant favor in your life, His abundant love in your life, that what He wants to do in your life is so far beyond what you can possibly imagine. All of your walls, everything that surrounds you of precious stones. In other words, when you look at your surroundings, you're not going to see junk. You're not going to see difficulty. You're not going to see the ugly of humanity. You're not going to see the ugly of your circumstances, that He wants to turn all of that mourning into joy. He wants to turn all of your ugliness into beauty. He's going to give you beauty for ashes. He's going to take every situation that has looked awful, that has looked terrible, that in your eyes it's ugly, it's horrendous, and He says, I'm going to make your walls and everything that surrounds you beautiful. Whew. All your children shall be taught by the Lord. Parents, if you're worried about your children, this is for you. He says, all of your children will be taught by me. Great shall be the peace of your children. Great shall be the peace. Not just a little bit of peace, but great. If you're watching by live stream, great will be the peace of your children. This is a promise from God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. And in righteousness, you will be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. And from terror, you'll be far from, for it will not come near you. It will not come. You are established in God. You are established in who He is.